This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And my goodness, where is 2018 gone? Well, the last day of March.
Yes, and we're thinking about starting a water polo league in the area.
I want to start growing rice, Patties.
Did you hear the long range forecast,
the
La Nina forecast with, you know, very wet spring and then turns dry and hot in the summer?
See, over the years, farming wise, Final Four weekend is usually a barometer where we're usually in the fields planting corn whenever the Final Four is going on. Not so much this year.
No.
I don't know if we'll be planting corn by the time the Cardinals have their home opener next week. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't see how it could happen.
Because they've got rain in the forecast for the first part of next week again. So.
Full saturation.
Yeah. So we went from being bone dry to being very, very wet.
Isn't that the thing about the weather and Mother Nature? It always corrects itself.
Sure.
Like, nature knows, oh boy, we're dry. Yeah. Need to get wet. And here we are.
Well, it's just the process, I guess, is what is sometimes difficult to handle.
We talked about it before. If you could just order like a nice soaking half inch of rain every 7 to 10 days, it would be wonderful and glorious, and everybody, no matter what your profession is, would be happy with that. That would be great.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No, that's not how it works. We're in the temperate zone.
That's right. Hey, keeps us on our toes. Keeps us honest.
Well.
The temperate zone.
The temperate zone, right? And then in that,
that sounds
geography.
Right. That sounds right.
And then, because you had the tropics, and then the temperate zone, and then you had the Arctic and Antarctica.
I guess what we got to worry about now is we're going to get hit by the Chinese space station that's hurtling towards Earth.
Well, you know.
Illinois, like, we're like in like the cross section.
I know.
So who knows? Look up today.
Somebody said to me yesterday, says, well, Do you think it's going to hit water? I said, well, the Earth is covered by, you know, 2/3 water.
70%.
So it's probably a pretty good shot it's going to hit water someplace. But, you know, the track does lend itself over the United States, and hopefully most of it will burn up.
Hopefully. Which it should.
There's only been one person, one lady, ever hit with a piece of space debris, and she was not injured. She just got a bit of a bruise on her shoulder.
Can you sue if you get hit by space debris?
You're darn right. You can sue for anything, Tim.
Well, good point.
They're finding that out in Washington.
Oh, boy. Come on.
Yeah.
We're suing.
Yeah. I don't care what we're suing. We'll make up something tomorrow, but we're suing today. Yeah,
frivolous, who cares? It doesn't matter.
That's right.
We're pressing forward.
That's right. So
Cardinal baseball on the radio today. They will press forward after their less than inspiring opening day performance.
Well, one game does not a season
make. It does not.
Make.
No, it does not.
And,
but they ruined the perfect season.
Yeah, they're not going 162. The dream of 162-0 is over.
Not watching anymore. There's no point.
They still got a chance at 0-162, though.
They do.
Well, you know, the thing that was frustrating to me was the fact that, gosh, they just walked too many people. You know?
That was my biggest.
And because the big thing coming out of spring training, all the Cardinal pitching staff is dynamite. They're not walking anybody. They're throwing strikes. They're you know, and then they walk nine people, and then the bullpen kind of implodes. And
we've learned one thing over the last number of years with Finney. You can't believe anything he says in spring training.
Yeah,
because it's
well,
just
spring
proven.
Spring training doesn't count.
No.
They were on our Redbird recap this morning. They were talking all about how great Walker was in the spring.
Doesn't matter.
And I'm going, who cares? You know, it's spring, and that doesn't count.
And yeah, you're exactly right. It's one game, and 3 months from now, you won't remember opening day. But I was a little discouraged that Carlos Martinez had some of the same types of problems early that he had last year.
Yeah.
You know, the walks, the not ability to get out of trouble early.
Yeah,
that's basically how he's looked for the most part this spring. I mean, it's carried over. It's he was one of the pitchers that was not sharp this spring in game action. On the backfields, he was different, I guess, but in game action, he was not sharp. So
well, and again, it was the first game, and you know, you can't judge the entire season in one game.
Oh, absolutely.
And Carlos Martinez is the kind of pitcher that could put up, you know, pitch four shutouts in a row and have an ERA of 2.5 for the season. That's it's extremely possible because he's got that ability.
Oh.
Whether, you know, whether it comes to fruition or not, whole nother subject. But
he's got the skill. It's just a matter of him putting it together.
Yeah.
And hopefully he will be able to build off of that. And the walks.
You can't walk.
They struck out 15 times, the Cardinals opening day record, and they walked, what, nine guys or
I was listening to the broadcast, and Ricky Horton pointed out that in Major League Baseball, 72% of the people that you walk leading off an inning score. Hmm. And, you know, the Cardinals gave up way too many leadoff walks, and it bit them.
There was an interesting bit of strategy, I thought, in that game where I think it was about the third inning, they were going to pinch hit for Carlos, the way it worked out. And then his position, his spot in the order didn't come up, so they sent him back out for the fourth, and he had a great inning. Why then do you send him back out? I didn't care for that at the
time.
That's not second guessing.
Because
chance to get the win.
No, not at all. Because it's opening day. I'm not upset at Matheny for running Martinez back out there in the fifth because it's the first game of the season. Don't panic yet.
That's all the more reason not to send him out for the fifth. He was nearing 80 pitches. It's a cold day in New York City. You're carrying eight relievers, for heaven's sakes. Like, you were going to take him out in the third if a spot came up. You got one great inning out of him. Get him out.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that decision at the time. And then it totally blew him in the face.
It didn't bother me just because I felt like it would have been. Well, Matheny manages April like it's October, and he manages October like it's April. Stretch your starters out at this time right now because it's the first game of the season.
Well,
this is where your ace has to eat innings. Wear it.
I don't necessarily agree. I don't think opening day is where your ace has to eat the innings. If he's going, fine. But he had no control.
In particular, in the way that the Cardinals used their pitching staff in the spring training because they didn't go deep. They didn't throw a whole lot of pitches in the spring training games. So to expect him to throw 120 pitches on opening day is just completely
not realistic.
He was only at 80, though.
Bob Gibson could.
Well, that's different.
But Gibby's one of a kind. So
he could have conceivably...
Gibby never even threw 120 pitches on opening day, I bet.
He could have conceivably got through five on 100 pitches or less.
Well, he could have, but did he?
Well, when you walk that many people, when you walk six people...
But, I mean, he didn't even get to... I don't even know if he got to 100 pitches.
I don't think he did because he didn't last long enough in the fifth inning. Because they had to take him out.
Because he had like 80 after four. And it's like, well, he's got one more inning, especially a 1-2-3-4th inning. It didn't bother me throwing him
back.
Just
let me say this. The world is better when baseball's on being played.
It is true.
Just something about the time of the year and the fact that Major League Baseball is being played. And yeah, we chew on the Cardinals a little bit. But you know, the world just... It gives me a calming effect.
It was pretty interesting, funny to me that, you know, all the talk this offseason was about pace of play.
Yeah.
Speed of play. The first game of the year is the Cubs and the Marlins. Yeah. The first pitch of the season is a home run. The top of the first inning took like 40 minutes to play.
Yeah.
Carlos Martinez spits on your pace of play.
Well, the other interesting thing in the Cardinal game, you're only allowed six mound visits now.
That affected him, too.
Yeah, it did. You could tell Yadi is not going to like that. That is going to be a big problem for Yadi because he would go out to the mound once an inning.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even think about it, just a quick little conversation.
Once an inning, twice and three times an inning.
You're exactly right.
Right in the game.
That is going to be, there's another aspect of strategy now for baseball. You only get six mound visits, and you're going to want multiple mound visits in your pocket for the eighth and ninth inning. So if your guy's in trouble in the first or second inning, you got to figure out on his own.
You know, and as great as Yadi is, I always thought he overdid it. I always thought it was just, my God, you guys are major league pitchers. You're being paid gazillion dollars. For goodness sakes, you ought to at least be on the same page. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Depends what he's saying, because we've seen times where the pitcher's just totally out of sorts. Yadi goes out there, says whatever he says, and the dude's locked in.
Yeah.
But you're right, though.
You're a major league baseball player. This is your profession.
That's what the pregame meetings are
for. That's right. So, you know, I think it's a good rule. In fact, they ought to drop it down to three visits a game.
I think it's an interesting rule. I'm going to be very interested in the enforcement of it when it gets in the middle of the year, late games, the old dog days of summer.
Here's what I'm going to say it's going to happen. They're going to withdraw the rule about halfway after the All-Star break.
That very well might happen.
Yeah. I bet you a dollar to a donut, that goes by the wayside. So...
Just call strikes, baby.
Yeah.
Just call strikes. Game will move along just fine if you call the strikes.
That's what happened with the non-reviewable neighborhood play at second base. That wasn't reviewable for like half a season, and then it was like, oh, maybe we do need to review these.
Right. And then, you know, that's been the encouraging thing about baseball here. Overnight, they got, like, progressive and stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, they're admitting their mistakes. They're willing to try new. What happened to baseball?
I don't know. Is Joe West still umpiring?
I don't know. Every year's his last year. Yeah.
Did he finally give it up?
I think he did.
Thank God.
But Angel Hernandez is still with us, right?
Yeah.
C.B. Buckner.
Hey, as long as we got Angel and C.B., we're okay.
C.B. is in the Cardinals-Mets series.
Yeah, didn't mess anything up the other day.
Yeah. No. Well, it wasn't much to mess up in that game.
People don't like C.B. Buckner.
Because
his strike zone is just awful.
It's not just a strike zone. He doesn't know. I don't think he can see right. I genuinely don't think he can see
that's
right.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, with all the technology and everything, you could easily automate the strike zone. Yeah. You really could. Now, you still have to have an umpire back there. But as far as balls and strike calls, you could set up a baseball with infrared coating on it of some sort, and you could, you know, have cameras pointed over home plate and everything, and you could call balls and strikes. I mean, and then there would be no ambiguity on whether it was a ball or a strike. The problem would be the foul balls, the foul tips, and stuff like that.
There'd be lots of bugs to work out. It'll eventually get you something like that. Well, to me, the other thing with that is, if you're automated, how do you adjust between Jose Altuve and Aaron Judge?
Yeah. Well, the cameras would move.
We hope they would
move. Yeah. Everybody would have a prescribed... You know, as the season starts, everybody would have a prescribed dimension, and it'd be just be
I can just see it, though. The computer doesn't get switched over, and a ball's 2 feet over Altuve's head, and they call it a strike. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Just a bit high.
That's right.
Just a bit high. So
we'll have the Cardinals on the radio today, 11:15 with the pregame on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Of course, all 162 games this year. And opening day for the Cardinals is what, Thursday?
It's coming up Thursday,
Night game.
That's a night game, and that's also will be, if we have good weather, we'll have our first high school broadcast that day. Nokomis or Greenville Baseball at 7:30 that night on FM 106. So we'll have same day coverage of our high school games, just like we did last year, and looking forward to it. But tell you what.
It's been a rough go early.
The weather forecast. Man.
Need that Wisby Dome.
I'm telling you. Prango and I were talking about that the other day. Just all the fun events that could happen at the Wisby Dome.
Endless possibilities.
It's in endless possibilities.
Look at those curling in there.
You could do, hockey. You could field hockey. You could do all sorts of things.
That's
absolutely.
Right. Was it Saki Hawker?
We don't want to go back to that.
We need a break.
That's when we used baseball bats for sticks and we broke our fingers. That was the old days.
The good old days.
Well, I don't
know. Or they're just old.
Just old days. Okay. Yeah. It was when we were dumb kids, okay? That's what we were.
There we go. I know how that goes.
Yeah.
Back with more in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tope.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, of course, the men's Final Four is tonight. You got Loyola Chicago, the true Cinderella, taking on Michigan, and then in the other national semifinal, the Blue Bloods, as Villanova will take on Kansas, and we'll see if maybe Loyola can shock the world and get into the championship game on Monday night. But last night in the women's
Final Four,
Notre Dame did indeed.
Two overtime games.
Shocked the world.
Yeah, Notre Dame beat UConn. That's the second year in a row UConn has lost on a last-second shot in overtime in the semifinals.
Fire the coach.
Yes, that's right. Get him out.
Yeah, yeah.
Geno's running.
Geno's gone.
He's obviously lost the pulse of the club.
Gino will be coaching in Europe next year.
That's right. He coached the ball brothers over in Lithuania. But, Jerry, we were talking about it, and the UConn women's program is probably the most dominant sports group that we've ever seen. I mean, we talk about they crush the best teams in the country year in, year out. They're consistently going into the tournament undefeated or with just one loss. I think this was like their 11th or 12th straight Final Four, but the last couple of years, you mentioned they've gotten knocked off at the buzzer in the Final Four, and it makes you wonder if they wouldn't benefit, and I think they would benefit, from some closer games during the regular year. They beat everybody by 30 or 40. We see at the high school level, teams that roll through the regular mm-hmm. year, not getting tested. Like, it's fun for the regular
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah.
But the playoffs are different. Mm-hmm. Even at the high school level, into the college and the pros, it's just a different type of game. And for UConn, you know, they you'll see in the regular year, it'll be 1-2. They'll win by 40.
Sure.
You know, they beat South Carolina, who, in the regional final, blew them
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
But when you get into that first tight game of the year in a spot like mm-hmm. that, it's different.
Well, and there's untold pressure or undescribable pressure when you're undefeated going into the postseason. Because, yes, even though everybody is 0-0 going into the postseason, because, you know, your previous records don't count except for maybe seeding purposes, I still think there's this pressure because you end up playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And it's just such a fine line between the two mindsets. Plus, once you get into the postseason, first off, everybody's, you know, you've got a target on your back from the very get-go. And number three, I think the officiating changes and, you know, the games get more physical. And I even think this in the high school level. A lot of times, you know, the further you go into the tournament, games get more physical because you don't want kids fouling out.
No.
You know, they're going to let them play. So, like you said, if you aren't challenged during the season, the first time you get challenged is in a semifinal, yeah, you could choke. And that's not necessarily choking, but you could end up on the losing end of it.
Yeah, you're just not used to the tight games down the stretch. And I can remember when I was in high school, when UConn was not yet what they are now.
Yeah.
Tennessee
was
the top dog
the Volunteers,
with Pat Summitt. And I remember those two teams playing some just knockdown, drag-out, classic battles. And that, to me, though, it's like iron sharp, hardening iron.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, is what allowed UConn to go on this tie. I mean, you got a whole generation of women now that grew up not knowing that UConn doesn't just go 36-0 and beat everybody by 40. I mean, they've been doing it for that long.
And it's the thing that's so sad is the fact that people forget how great the Tennessee Volunteers, Lady Vols, were and still are. Still a great program, but
not
under
the same.
Not the same without Pat Summitt, who was just, you know, the Geno Auriemma of her time.
Yeah.
And she was just, you know, like you said, you go in there and it was just a battle, just a, you know, people getting beat up. And just, it was great to watch.
Right.
It really was.
See, now if you're Notre Dame, you have to make sure, was it Mississippi State, I think, who beat UConn last year and then lost in the title game. So you got to make sure, remember, the U.S. beat the Russians in the semifinals.
Yes.
They had to beat the Swedes to get the gold medal.
That's
so
right.
Now you got to finish it off.
That's right.
Now you got to finish it off.
Yeah, and we see it in high school where, you know, you pull off an upset early in maybe the regional tournament, knock off a higher seed, and all of a sudden you're flat the next game in the championship game.
Notre Dame celebrated if they won the championship last night.
Well,
they were celebrating when there was still time on the clock, and it almost cost them.
Yeah, it almost cost them. And isn't it funny how many teams do that? You know, they take the lead late in the game, and they forget that there's still time on the clock, and you got the other team has at least one shot.
Yeah, when the clock stops, you know, like in high school, the clock's running, the game's over, but, right? Ball goes to the net, the clock stops. There was a second left, and they're celebrating, and I'll be darned if UConn didn't get it all the way down the floor. Tipped pass, and a girl had, like, what, about a 10-foot runner and just left it a little short.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad in the high school game they don't stop the clock. I think it's a good rule not
to. Well, because you better have a timeout in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So.
There have been plenty of times where, you know, the team will score, and it's like the coach is like, hold it.
Yeah.
Just don't inbound it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only 5 seconds left.
Let it go.
They can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's UConn getting knocked off. Just I didn't think it was going to happen. I just thought because they lost last year, and I thought, well, these guys are just ticked off, just playing with a chip on their shoulder. And isn't it amazing how sports is still the best reality TV there is?
Absolutely, you can't script it.
You can't script it,
and you can try to script it, but it'll get off script real quick. Like who had Loyola? I think on the men's side. Was a pretty popular, quote-unquote, sleeper team to win a couple of games, get into the Sweet 16, and then nice little story.
Yeah.
See you later. Who had them in the Final Four? I mean, come on.
Not many.
Not many people.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
many people.
Especially, you know, just this year, the bracket was so difficult to pick this year, only because you had so many number one teams through the season. You had so many teams that were not even in the top 25 rankings that ended up in the top 10 and then all of a sudden disappeared. It was just a goofy season for college basketball. So it's, I guess it's kind of neat that you got the Blue Bloods on one side of the bracket and the other two guys, well, Michigan's, you know.
Yeah, they're not quite a blue blood, probably, but they're
but they're close.
They're not an upstart.
No, they're not an upstart. So Michigan, I tell you what, Michigan could win that game.
They could. Any one of these four teams could win. I wouldn't be surprised if any.
I don't think Loyola's going to beat Michigan tonight, but I have been wrong many times.
They've been hanging by the skin of their chinny chin chin this whole tournament. Well, I think they've won 40 or at one point they'd won three games with like 4 points.
Yeah,
the last one they won by double digits, right? It was like 16.
And when it comes to Kansas Villanova.
That's a pick 'em there.
That's just, flip a coin.
Whoever shoots the best from three is
I enjoy watching Jalen Brunson.
Love Jalen Brunson.
Oh, isn't he great to watch? He's just terrific.
I always remember watching him in high school up at the state tournament. I've said this before, but his sophomore year, he lost to Jabari Parker and Simeon. His junior year, he lost to Jahlil Okafor and Whitney Young.
Yeah.
And then his senior year, he won the whole thing and set the state tournament scoring record.
Yeah.
Single game.
Yeah. 50.
And actually, he might have done that his junior year in the loss to Whitney Young.
He did that in his junior year. Yeah,
the game they lost to Whitney Young, he scored over 50 points.
I think he had like 36 or something in the senior
year. A measly 36.
Just a measly 36.
But like, I remember watching that kid as a sophomore. Like, he's on the foot. Jabari Parker has all this national hype, you know, and he obviously was a great player, but got hurt. But when you watch Brunson play that year as a sophomore, it's like, oh my gosh, like that kid's legit.
Yeah.
Well, like Morgan Park this year, like Io DeSunmu going down. Okay, he's good. But they had a sophomore on that team. Like, holy cow, like, that dude is next level good.
Yeah.
Adam Miller.
Yeah. So.
2020. Class of 2020.
2020.
I don't know. But anyway, it's fun to watch Brunson.
Fun to watch Brunson. So, and basically, this game tonight will come down to Brunson versus Devontae.
I think so.
Whoever has the better game
is
probably going to see their team win.
And I'll put my money on Brunson.
It's hard to bet against him.
It's hard to bet against a guy. You know, he didn't really have a great game the last game. And he's not the kind of player that's going to suffer that effect two games in a row, I tend to think.
Just the steady ball player.
Okay, we've got that one out of the way. You know, every team has a game where maybe they get a little lucky, they kind of stumble their way through. Of course, when you're playing at this high level, you should have close games. But, you know, they just weren't as sharp as they were before, so... So I would say Michigan and Villanova for the
Michigan Villanova. That's your guess?
Yeah, that's my guess.
You're probably right. Michigan most likely will beat Loyola, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Loyola.
Oh sure.
Why not? What the heck?
You know, I think
the ideal circumstance, Terry, would be Loyola versus Villanova.
Villanova, yeah.
Because Villanova today has the greatest upset in NCAA tournament history.
Yes, they do.
In 1985 over Georgetown.
Yeah.
And you know how sports works.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny like that coming full
circle. How the basketball gods can come back and bite you.
Exactly right.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me the least little bit. So remember, they're on TBS.
Yeah, which I'm not crazy about that.
No. So...
But when you pay how many billions of dollars for the TV, right? It turns out they want those big games on their station every once in a while.
Well, you know, that's... Well, I think it's that way for the next several years.
Oh, is it? I know it was last year.
Yeah. So, anyway, semis are tonight, and then the championship on Monday night. So, and then as far as I'm concerned, basketball season's done, because I don't follow the NBA.
Well, it's just different.
It's just different. It's just different type of basketball.
Just longer. You get the playoff series, and it's not one and done. Until you really get to a game seven or an elimination game,
By that time, the Cardinals have taken over and it's Cardinal baseball season.
There's nothing interesting about the NBA playoffs. All the series are blots until you get to the later rounds. I mean, there's nothing interesting about it.
It hasn't been. This year, though, I think will be a little bit different because the Warriors are hurt. The Rockets are hot. Kyrie's hurt for Boston,
but the Rockets
and
Warriors
LeBron is still LeBron.
But the Rockets and Warriors aren't going to face each other until the Western Conference Finals.
Hey, if Steph Curry's hurt and Klay Thompson's hurt, there's no guarantee the Warriors get to the Rockets in the Conference Finals.
They will sweep their first round and probably the second round.
They might, if they're healthy. They're not sweeping the first two rounds if they don't have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Boy, I find it hard to sweep.
They're not the same team this year.
Yeah.
They're still awesomely great, but if
keep Steph in mind, it's the regular season.
That's fine. But Steph, 2 years ago when they lost in the finals, Steph Curry got hurt in the first round of the playoffs, was not the same, and they lost. If Steph Curry is not healthy, they are not the same Warriors team. I don't care about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's fine. Steph Curry is that team.
Yeah.
They go as Steph Curry go. And if he's hurt, they're in trouble.
But teams 4 through 8 in the Western Conference are significantly different than the top 3 teams.
Sure.
The Warriors
I'm not saying they won't win, though. I'm saying they won't sweep the first two rounds if they don't have Steph Curry. They'll still win.
They will.
They won't sweep. You also had Illinois in the championship game of the Big Ten Conference tournament.
Semifinals.
Oh.
Semifinals.
Oh, yes, because the championship game would have just been outrageous.
Well, yeah. Of course.
Speaking of the Illini, Michael Finke transferring.
Yeah.
Tajon Lucas transferring.
Yeah.
That's four guys that have left.
Four guys who are not, I think, accustomed to playing the style of basketball.
You're exactly right.
That Brett Underwood wants to play. And yeah. he wants to play, you know, Chicago Public League style basketball. Yeah. That's where he's going to try to get his guys.
And both Finke and Lucas were basically told, your minutes are not going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, Finke's scholarship wasn't renewed. I mean, he was told flat out, we're not renewing your scholarship.
I didn't really do that.
He's through 4 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
graduated.
Yeah, it's a 4-year scholarship no matter what. And then, you're right.
He would have had to come back as basically like a graduate.
You know, so that really doesn't freak me out as far as the potential success for the Illini. Because Underwood, you know, the style of play he likes to get involved in, he's still going to need to get his guys.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to play that style of basketball. And you know, not just wasn't, you know, Mark Smith never just really fit in.
Yeah, that's the one that bothers me,
though.
When you're losing the reigning Mr.
Basketball
in your state, when he leaves after 1 year, that's a problem to me.
Yeah.
That's a
PR problem.
Just among other things.
More than anything,
among other things.
I think.
It's a big, well, especially since Mizzou's offered him.
Yeah. So
in 2 years from now, two former Illinois recruits, maybe three if Pickett's there, could be on Missouri when they play the Breckenridge.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Brad Underwood better hope he's got a lock on the public league.
Yeah.
Because if he rolls into a Bragg and Whites game, and Mark Smith, Javon Pickett,
scores 70 points between those three.
If Tillman and Smith are playing against Illinois for Mizzou in the Bragg and Whites game, and he doesn't have a lock on the public league, then it gets interesting.
Well, here's a question. Where is E.J. Liddell during that game?
Ooh. And that will be the great recruiting battle in the state. He is going to be so highly sought after. And you're right. If they lose Liddell to Missouri.
They've lost the Metro East.
Ooh,
Illinois has lost the Metro East.
Right. If that happens, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And that's why the Mark Smith transfer to me was so concerning. Sure. Because you're talking about a kid who knows E.J. Liddell.
Mm-hmm.
Played against him in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff. Playing in the same conference. In the same league. So all those guys are familiar. Whether they're friends or not, I don't know. But they're familiar with each other on a
level. And that's
level.
What we tend to forget about. The interconnections. The interpersonal relationships with, you know, former competitors.
Exactly. So you've now got Jeremiah Tillman, who didn't want to play for Brad Underwood. You've now got Mark Smith, who didn't want to play for Brad Underwood. If E.J. Liddell talks to those two guys, what are they going to tell him?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And this E.J. Liddell might be the best basketball player that the state of Illinois has seen. And I'm including all the public league players. I'm including Jabari Parker. I'm including Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
He might be better than all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid's the real deal. Stud.
Kind of reminds me of a kid that could play on Dalton Thornridge back in the day.
He just has it.
Like,
you talk about it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it
he
is.
He has it. He's
and
got
it's,
it.
And it's funny because you watch the kid and you can't really describe it, but it's it.
That's it.
You got it. He's the guy. You know.
And whoever the color commentary was during the state tournament brought it up, his timing on the block shots, his timing is just
impeccable.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And he's a quick leaper.
Yeah.
Got
scary guy.
He's got the whole package.
Yeah.
Got the complete
package.
You just
hope he stays healthy and plays a long, long time.
Yeah.
Because the game of basketball will benefit from his presence.
So I remember last year, Edwardsville played West in the sectional semifinal. I think I went down to Collinsville and watched it. And this Liddell kid is a sophomore, almost single-handedly beat Edwardsville, the undefeated Edwardsville team with Mark Smith. He almost single-handedly beat them that night.
Wow.
And then his junior year leads him to the state championship. So this kid's the real deal.
Yeah.
And if Illinois could somehow land him.
By the way, I took a trip to Cincinnati earlier this week to take care of some medical situations and happened to see a replay of a state tournament other than Illinois, and I'm going, this is brutal to watch.
Nobody does it better.
I'm sitting there going, wow, this is just is unbelievable. Illinois does it and does it well.
Absolutely. So, year after year.
Yeah, they really do. And this year's state tournament was terrific. So
we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. And it's been a rough go here for our spring sports as Mother Nature has just not been cooperating at all. Now, the Purple Panther Classic at Litchfield, that has been going off without accident.
Yeah, and they had two games yesterday. Auburn beat Staunton 2-1, and Hillsborough beat Greenville 3-0. So I think Hillsborough is undefeated in the tournament. And so, weather permitting, you know, they could play today.
It's Hillsborough against Litchfield for the title.
Hillsborough, Litchfield. Okay, so that's what I thought. So
that's fitting.
You know, but
is it still the Staunton or the Panther Bulldog?
No, it's the Litchfield tournament.
Okay.
Litchfield tournament. The thing of it is, and more, it used to be, hey, as long as it's not lightning, we're playing.
Right.
You know, and now they're kind of taking a look and saying, well, we don't want to destroy the soccer field with all the wet weather and everything. So I don't know whether they get played or not. So. Certainly not going to play much baseball and softball.
No. It has been a baseball and softball coach's worst nightmare. This
has been one of those years, and you know, once we get to postseason play, a lot of times most teams have played close to 20 games or so. This year it might be, you know, 12 to 15 games as all they've got under their belt. So, and I think certainly heading down the stretch, this is going to put a lot of pressure on conference games.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to have makeup dates that are going to be booked rather quickly, and you're going to be playing, you know, six, seven games in a six-day period.
Well, especially with the pitch counts
There's more
strategy
in
the high school coaching than there was a couple years ago before the pitch count rule came in.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be odd to see maybe a team have to play a doubleheader on Saturday against two different teams just to get conference games in. I mean, that's a distinct possibility. If the rain continues to come down at the forecasted rate here for the next several weeks, this could be a tough go.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this week does not look like it's going to be productive at all.
Yeah, and you know, and as much as we worry about baseball, we need to worry about the farmers, you know, and taking care of that, growing that corn and that soybean.
We still got time there. I mean, obviously, the earlier in April you can get the corn in, the better it's going to be. That's just how that works. But you know, as long as it's still April, we start to get into May,
you're in trouble.
If there's nothing in the ground in May, problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got people getting a little concerned.
You got people getting a lot concerned. Yeah. There's not a little, but a lot.
You know how it goes.
Yes.
Odds are in a couple of weeks, it'll be dried out and everything will be back to quote unquote.
You know, a dry week goes a long way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, it can dry out quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen sunshine, warmer temperatures, wind, and all of a sudden 2 days, dust to flying.
Yeah, you can take care of diamond dry for the baseball and softball. Not so much for the farming. That would take a lot of diamond dry. Gonna need a bigger bag.
You're gonna have to be hauling it in in something more than just a bag.
Yeah.
By the way, diamond dry made from ground up corn cobs.
For real?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's how I got started. Yeah.
What a great invention!
Oh yeah, and I'm telling you, boy, it's a great invention.
We would play probably, what do you think, 40% fewer games around here if there was no diamond dry?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, every bit of that.
It's a savior.
And, you know, and it's like at the state tournament, when they have the weekends booked basically for state tournament finals, they've got to get the games played.
Right.
So the amount of diamond dry they put on these diamonds sometimes is just unbelievable.
Do what you got to do.
Oh, you know, they'll put 100 bags on the on some of those diamonds. It's crazy.
Mm.
But they get him played.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So
that's all that matters.
That seems like such a far, far way away thing, but you know, the sites for the regionals have been announced for baseball and softball, and it won't be long till another month from now they'll have all the seedings done, and it'll be postseason time before we know it.
Just like that. Terry, you mentioned on our last before our last break that you had been out of town the last couple days, and I think you wanted to kind of give people a little...
Just a little bit of an update. We've been checking with you know, the doctors involved for what's the next step in my treatment and coming up here in about, well, starting on Wednesday, April the 11th, I start some chemotherapy. And that'll be a every 2 week thing. And it'll be a pump I'll wear for a couple of days. And so I'm planning on continuing to work. The weekends will probably be the tough time. But plan on continuing to work and hopefully get this next step rolling and get this crud under control and have a fun spring. I'm looking forward to baseball and getting out there, enjoying some warmer weather and appreciate all your help and Dave's help and everybody here at the radio station's been gracious and that's just basically the next step for me. We're doing chemotherapy. The surgeons we've talked to say, well, we're done. It's up to the oncologist now. So I get to take treatments here at Litchfield and close to home. And so
that's convenient.
It is very convenient.
Yeah, you've been cut on and poked and prodded.
I'm glad that we're done cutting. So.
And we will have Terry's benefit coming up this or a week from today at the Raymond KC Hall. That event is sold out. Thankfully, all the tickets have been sold. So if you don't have a ticket now, well, you're basically just out of luck in terms of the meal from Milano's Catering and all that. But we are anticipating some overflow attendance, if you will, say around 8 o'clock. If you wanted to show up, we'd have a discounted ticket for you to get in. You just wouldn't get any meal.
Yeah.
So. But the event is sold out, and really
appreciate
a lot of thanks to a lot of different people. Katie Wilson has spearheaded, taken control of the event, but Earl Sarles stepped up, and it's a surprise to no one that Earl stepped up. But my goodness, Earl, congratulations, man! Thank you so much for everything you have done. Awesome.
Talked to Earl this morning, and even the day of surgery, Earl was on the telephone with me in the morning. And appreciate all that he's done, and a good guy.
Yeah, I mean,
my bud.
Earl's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
So, I know that, and he'll never admit it, but I know Earl put his money where his mouth was.
Big time.
And to make this happen, so I appreciate it. So, yeah. Anyway, hope to have a good time.
All right, we're going to have a great time. Yeah. Steve Davis will be there and his crew,
he's got the band with him.
Yes, he does. So the full ensemble.
Oh yeah, he's got. If you've never heard Steve Davis, and we have the good fortune of having Steve in here and visiting with us a couple times a year, just sitting here shooting the bull for an hour about where he's been and stuff like that. And he's a guy who loves radio. He really does.
Old school.
He's old school. And if you've never seen Steve and his show with the band, it's awesome. It's really awesome. And, you can see him every year at the Bunnell Fall Festival and various other events. So
go to Vegas. You might see him there, too.
Oh, I mean, this guy's worldwide. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He travels completely around the world, and he's coming to Raymond. So
I mean, he could like, if you got, like, the best Elvis impersonators in the world, he would be on the podium.
Oh, he's
on the podium. If not at the top.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, he's good.
He's a good guy. He's good, and boy, can he tell stories.
Oh, boy.
Oh my God, can he tell stories. And I think that's what we really appreciate about Steve when he comes in and visits us, some of the stories he can share with us. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We needed a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
Cardinals baseball here today on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. You can hear it at 11:15 on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9 as the Cardinals take on the New York Mets. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Ponscum. Hey, what did the Cardinals start last year?
1-2. They won the opening day and lost the next two to the Cubs.
But they started off a lot. What was their...
Like 3-9. 3-9 through 12.
That's the thing about the baseball season. They buried themselves so early last year. You can't win it in April, but you can put yourself in a tough
spot. Keep yourself
tough
in
spot.
Contention.
Absolutely.
Contention, yeah.
And that's where, like, today...
Well, you know what? The Cubs, look at what they did early last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Cubs are primed for a monster year, sure seems this year. I mean, my God. Where are the outs in the lineup?
I don't know. That's a good question. As long as the pitching is halfway good, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Of course, they won't have Arrieta this year.
No.
Lester's a year older. That would be my biggest concern if I was a Cubs fan is John Lester, because he's in a lot of ways, he's been kind of the linchpin. Arrieta got a lot of the pub. Yeah. But Lester was kind of the glue that held it all together
kind
to me
ground,
the last couple.
Grounded out.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
But you can only be that glue if you're still dominating at the same level you had been. And at some point, he's going to slow down.
Yeah.
I mean, the man is getting into the back end of his... He's well into the back end of his career.
Sure.
Now, so if he slides a little bit and you don't have Arrieta... That would be my only concern
it's
for the
where
Cubs.
Kyle Hendricks is really stepping up for him. He wasn't just a 1 year wonder.
Right, and they got Quintana for a full year.
Yeah,
and Yu Darvish.
And Yu Darvish.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
The Darvish guy.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Pretty good fourth option there.
Pretty good fourth option.
Nah, he's a real good fourth option.
Yeah.
He'd be a real good first option in front of a lot of teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like some Cardinals news?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Holland signing is official.
Okay.
They signed their closer
14 million
for 1 year. Okay. Also a chance to go higher if he wins certain awards and everything. But 14 million guaranteed for 1 year. Because of that, they moved Alex Reyes to the 60-day DL. Tim, you had a question off the air about can they... Well, I said they may, you know, retroactively move it back. They can't do that. So the earliest he can... be eligible to pitch in the major leagues is May 28th.
May 28th. Yeah, because there is no disabled list until the season starts.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So May 28th is the earliest he can pitch. There's some questions right now about whether it's injury-related moving him to the 60-day DL or if they're just, you know, doing it to conserve his
Or they're just saying, hey, he's hurt.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
We don't know because they had said they weren't going to move him to the 60-day DL.
Yeah.
And then they went ahead and moved him to the 60-day DL.
You know, I'm far from an expert. Like, yeah. if I say the Cardinals are going to be good, they're probably going to be bad. If I say they're going to be bad, they're probably going to be good. That's just how that is. Yeah. But doesn't it seem normally in baseball, when someone gets moved to the 60-day DL, you don't see him again for the year? Now, usually that's later in the year.
Yeah.
But I find it a little concerning.
And you know, if there's a bit of an injury here that's going to put him out for 60 days, he's also obviously going to have to go through some rehab and some work probably at the lower level. Like, so it's going to be beyond 60 days before we actually see him.
Remember, he's coming off a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So with that, that's why I'm a little worried about this. And if the Cardinals say they're not worried, then I'm really worried.
Yeah.
We know the Cardinals' medical history. If it's not a big deal, it's a monster deal. If it's a major deal, he'll be back in a couple of days.
They haven't officially had like a press conference or anything. I imagine they'll have the Holland one probably today at some time, and that's when the questions will
and
be
asked. And hopefully
it
was just to make room for Holland on the 40-man roster that they had to transfer him to the 60-day deal. Hopefully that's all that
well,
it was.
Because
that kid has such a bright future.
Yeah, and resetting Reyes' start date for May 28th, it helps to conserve his innings because, I mean, he wasn't going to be able to pitch 170 or 180 innings
anyway. That's true.
Now, with the signing of Holland, obviously he's your closer, so does that mean when Reyes comes back, he's a starter?
Well, I would think he would
probably be.
Yeah. I figured the plan was to put him in the bullpen the year after Tommy John.
Yeah.
But maybe now you don't.
Rick Horton said it best when he said, you want to manage Reyes' workload. You can't do that if he's in the bullpen. Because you're not able to script it out.
That's true.
That's true.
And boy, wouldn't Reyes look good as a starter?
I mean, you know,
the potential there is terrific. Real upside there.
Endless potential.
Yeah.
Brett Cecil also placed on the DL today with a shoulder injury.
That signing's not working out too well.
No.
That hasn't gone well.
Not at all.
The first year he was with the Cardinals, he did...
Last year. He had a bad year. His year started whenever the ball got... He had that wild player struck out, and the ball stuck to Yachty's chest. That was a bad omen for him.
His spirals were there. Because that was his second appearance of the year.
Because he had the guy struck out.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember. It might have been the third out of the inning.
No.
He had him struck out, and then all of a sudden, the floodgates opened.
Man.
Yeah. Was it John Jay that was at the plate, too?
I don't think so.
And then was one of those situations where, as a fan, when you know, Shannon or Rooney would say, and now they're going to bring in Brett Cecil, you're going, oh, God.
Yeah, he had a dumpster fire type of year.
Yeah.
He had a bad, bad year. And I think a lot of people were expecting him to rebound this year, because the guy's not a bum. He's obviously a good pitcher.
Yeah.
Just had a bad year.
Yeah.
But now he's on the deal with a shoulder injury, so, boy, that's... Not good.
I think the guy has anxiety issues.
Don't
it
we all?
Sounds like. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Well, you know, I think the Cardinals have to expect a little more from Waka this year. I mean, he had a good year last year, but I think they really need to have him have a great year.
It just feels like so much of the Cardinals are being held together with duct tape and baling wire. You know, so many ifs and what ifs. Like, yeah, sure, if this happened, they could be good, but...
But Waka's, that's every team.
It really is every team
in Major League Baseball.
But look at the questions from the Cardinals. Waka's shoulder.
Yeah.
Spotty.
Mm.
Wainwright's old. Mm-hmm. And let's get, why in the world is Adam Wainwright at 36 racing Luke Gregerson, who's 33 in the last week of spring training? Why is this happening?
I think John Mozeliak wants to know that, too.
Yeah. Matheny doesn't care. He loves the competition. Yeah. We're at the water cooler. We're going to race. Why? Why? How does a 36-year-old pitcher sprinting against
who's
a 33-year-old
torn Achilles?
He's had a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
How does that help him get ready for the season? I'm sorry. How does that help?
I don't know.
Where's the ball?
You might as well go out and ride a motorcycle.
Why not?
And or go skateboarding.
Let's go run with some scissors. What are you doing?
They're all still kids. They're playing a kid's
just
game.
Kids at heart.
They're playing a kid's
just
game.
Kids at heart. But that, come on. In the year where you're expecting Wainwright, well, Matheny was expecting Wainwright, to be basically vintage Wainwright, and you're going to allow that to happen? Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah. Greatness was the line that was used when he saw him throw this spring. Greatness.
Greatness.
Well.
Greatness.
Baseball is such a long, long season. So many different things can happen. But the Cardinals still in a bit of a transition.
Well, they are.
Which began a couple years ago and is going to still last for a couple years,
but
probably.
They're just a walking mash unit. Yeah. You know, between Wainwright, we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you got Waka. He's questionable. Carpenter with his back and his shoulder. Yeah. Now he's playing third base. He can't throw the ball to first.
With a few minutes left in the show, I'd like to get your takes on this. Biggest overreaction from the Cardinals after one game?
Biggest overreaction?
What's your biggest overreaction? Like, make your biggest overreaction prediction based on what you've seen from one game.
Biggest overreaction prediction is I don't think they're going to be any different than they've been the last 2 years.
I wouldn't call that an overreaction.
As a macro thing. Oh, okay.
I wouldn't call that an overreaction.
Overreaction.
Like basically saying Carlos Martinez is going to have an ERA. Yeah, he's going to have an ERA over 5. That would be a... That would be an overreaction.
I guess I don't have any irrational overreaction, other than just I'm concerned that the Cardinals are going to be kind of a middle-of-the-run team, which is what I thought going into the year.
Middle of the pack.
Right. And let's be honest. In the first inning of the first game, when your first baseman throws it into center field, trying to turn a double play, that looked a lot like last year, didn't it?
You want to hear mine?
Yeah.
Tommy Pham gets sent down.
I tell you what, I love Tommy Pham.
You can't see.
I know. It's a problem.
As soon as they mentioned contact issue, the red flags came up for me.
I feel so bad for Tommy Pham because he's one of the... Isn't he a great example of how hard it is to make it as a Major League Baseball player? Because, darn it, he's got the skill. Mm-hmm. He's got the want to. But the poor man's vision just does not cooperate with him.
And he adds a jolt of excitement when he's in the lineup.
Absolutely.
He really does.
He's that breath of fresh air that they need, but...
Yeah.
Got to be able to see.
Yeah.
And the rest of his body's failed him, too. I mean, it's not just his vision.
Well, and, you know, he's been in the minor leagues for such a long time.
10 years?
And, you know,
11 years?
That's wear and tear, and, you know, that's a lot of bus rides. And
he was drafted.
I thought of a major overreaction.
Okay.
Marcelo Zuna's a bum. He's going to strike out 300 times this year, probably hit about 175.
300 would be a record.
It would be. I don't really believe that.
No.
He's going to be just fine.
He's kind of a second-half hitter anyway.
Well, and I always like to say, you know, to me, the Cardinals play in the Midwest when it gets hot, they tend to play better. So, I don't really worry a whole lot about early part of the season.
Keep in mind they were facing Noah Syndergaard in very cold weather.
Yeah, he's kind of good.
Yeah,
kind of good.
He's actually really pretty good. Yeah. So
98 mile an hour fastball is not good when it's cold.
Isn't it amazing how the Mets come up with all these pitchers?
Always do.
Them and the Dodgers always have pitching.
You know? Well, and the Blue Jays wonder why they always have trouble. You traded Noah Syndergaard for R.A. Dickey.
Yep.
All you need to know about what the Brolin,
baby. That's Broly O'Brock right there.
Right. It is. Oh, man.
So, well, Cardinals baseball 11:15 this morning and again tomorrow on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
Just don't get swept.
Yeah.
Just don't get swept.
Yeah.
Just get one.
Get a win.
Get a game.
I don't think they ever made the playoffs after getting swept in the opening series. I mean, it's only 3 games, but I don't think they've ever made the playoffs after getting swept in the first 3 games of the year.
I'm a good guard.
You know, why would baseball even keep a statistic like
the
that?
The same reason they keep a stat for what you hit on Tuesdays when it's at least 73 degrees. They got a stat for everything.
Yeah.
Stat for everything. Well, Sports Saturday is out of time today. Cardinal Baseball, 11:15 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Hopefully Mother Nature will allow some of the high school sports to be played today, but not bloody likely.
Well, if it is, it's probably soccer.
There you go. Soccer's got a chance.
Soccer's got a shot. So.
Baseball and softball, we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, talk to you next week. Yeah. That's right.
Tito, take us home.
Hey, that's going to do it for Sports Saturday. Please have a great sporting weekend. Enjoy the Final Four and the national championship games coming up on for the women and for the men. WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a terrific sporting weekend.